Business Insight, a weekly program of interviews and insights from some of the island's most respected business leaders on what drives their success.
And a very good evening. Welcome to Vectis Radio, 19th of January 2015. Business Insight here once again on the evening event. And as usual, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Dale Howarth. Good evening to you, Dale.
Good evening, Darren.
How are you this week?
I'm very good indeed, thank you. Yes.
Good. It's gone quick, hasn't it? You're here again.
It's certainly gone quick the last week. And yeah, it's been a good week. Lots of great feedback from last week's show. And looking forward to this week's.
That's what we like to hear in the hot seat once again. Would you like to introduce our guest in a moment? But first of all, you have an inspirational quote for us, don't you?
Well, yeah, it's really each week looking at these quotes, and this one leads into the subject quite well. So a great quote by Alain Prost, who of course French racing driver and four times Formula One drivers champion, which I didn't realize four times. And he had a great quote, which is, you can't always have the best team, it's always a compromise. And that's about people working together and developing teams, rather than it just being teams of individuals that maybe excel in their own right. Right. It's when they come together that they're so much more powerful. And of course, this week's subject's all about teams. It's about how to not only build but motivate highly effective teams. And really pleased to have John Carter here this week. Hi, John.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good indeed. And John's someone I've had the great pleasure of working with. I think we first met back in 2009, John.
About 6 years ago now. Yeah,
it was, when I did a seminar at Key Arts here in Newport. And John, you know, well known across the island, general manager of Betapack, of course, JR Zone. Beyond that now, education destination, and one or two other things in between. And really keen for John to come along, because when it comes down to building teams, when it comes down to motivating teams, John really is one of the best people you could possibly have on your team to do that. And I don't say that lightly.
Thanks,
and
Dale.
Certainly, no problem, John. You can pay me the £10 afterwards. Yeah. And certainly what John's achieved over these years, particularly around Betapack, which I want him to expand on, because everyone knows Betapack, but of course it really is a conglomerate of what was a number of businesses before. So a lot of things around bringing that business together. But really pleased to have John on board.
And welcome to Vectis Radio, John.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you on the programme this evening.
Yeah, so, good to be here.
Yeah. So yep. You have been busy going by the business card here. So, you know, obviously we'll delve into that in as much detail as we can during the course of Business Insight this evening. But first of all, we have a question for you.
Okay.
And it comes in from Peter from Freshwater. And he asks you, in your view, John, which would you say is more important when considering people to bring into a team? Would you say it's more to do with academic qualifications or practical experience? Because some people say that qualifications are so important, but surely practical experience must say a lot as well?
Yes, but to those two and for us, I'd say neither. Mm-hmm. Which you think, why to that? For us, it's always about attitude. You can pretty much train anything. Most skills, as we all go through life, we've all learned things, and there's lots of stuff that it's easy to learn. But the thing we've always found you cannot teach is attitude, and finding people with that right attitude.
It's getting the mix right, isn't it? Because I agree with this question. It's a tricky one, because obviously with a lot of the students coming out of the academic world are struggling to get the kind of job
There's lots of jobs you do, and when I say that, surgeons and things, you can't just think you're a surgeon because
not
you
at all.
Can talk about it, and yep. You really do need these qualifications. But I would say for most jobs, if you've got the right attitude, that is what we really look for.
Yeah, and it's a big factor, because a lot of people, you know, aren't academic. A lot of people come out of the education system without glowing results. You know, they haven't gone to university, they haven't gone to college, but you know, there's some amazing people out there, and once they can get that opportunity, then they really can start to flourish, and you see them come through. And I know so many people who didn't come through those academic channels.
Yes.
If you look at a lot of the captains of industry, you know, the Alan Sugars of this world and others,
Richard Branson,
they don't have a strong academic background. You know, they were often failed university graduates or came in with very sort of poor degrees.
Well, as
how
John
they applied
said,
themselves.
This where it comes down to attitude again, isn't it? Because, you know, as we're making the valid point here, you can go to university, go down the academic route to get the qualifications, which I know, because there's so many people chasing the same jobs, a lot of the qualifications uses a filtering process for most employers these days.
Yeah.
But attitude is key, and I think, you know, as I'm sure you'll say to people when you go to a job interview, if you can't sell yourself, then you've sold yourself short.
And what's the sort of attitude of things you're looking for there, John?
It then does start prior to the job interview, though. It starts when you're trying to apply for a job.
Because
as well.
You have to get all through that before the application.
Because you have to get through that. And you can say, how do you get through that with attitude? Well, you can, because I would actually say probably applicants out of 100, maybe one or two, actually read the advert to start with what we're looking for. And so many people just send out a general application. The tips are in the job ad, and people don't realise what we look for and what a employer looks for is somebody to say, you're asking for this, this is why I've got that, and how, actual experience of how and why. And the experience which was said there, the experience which we look for isn't just necessary jobs or whatever it is. It can be from school. It can be a hobby. Somebody can show they've got that right attitude in any walk of life.
Because you can read that into someone's CV.
Yep.
For example, if they've done a charity work, for example, then that shows that they've got the stamina and, you know, to actually...
But they then have to link that to either us, or you have to link it to the job. It's all well just sitting there and filling up saying, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that.
That's
well,
true.
Great, so what? What does that mean to me? It's great when they say, I've done this, and how that's going to be great for you and the job you've got. This is it.
What skills have you learnt as a result, as opposed to what you've done?
Yeah.
Is what you're trying to, Okay.
And I know when you look at things like that, I mean, it'd be good just to touch a little bit on BetaPack.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'll take just a minute, really, you know, I know BetaPack well. I know Darren does, and certainly I'm sure many of the listeners do. But there will be some there that don't know BetaPack. So if you can touch just quickly on really what BetaPack's about.
Quickly, we do 120,000 product lines.
Wow.
Copy paper, black bags, toilet roll. Have I got time to go through them all?
Yeah, as much detail as you like, John. Yeah.
No, but pretty much you can tell from a vast range like that, stationery, cleaning products, furniture, tea, coffee, whatever a business needs, we supply.
Right.
Again, you can put the test to it, so what? Many people do. But for us, it's all about saving businesses time. Businesses waste so much time, and they can waste hours and days shopping around, going on the internet, going to a supplier that does one thing, then pop into the shop. All of that time we can give them back by being their single source supplier. And then with that time that they've got, they can invest it in their business. So rather than running around, what they can then look to do is invest that time in marketing, invest it into selling, growing their business. They did not get into business to be buying consumables.
So for the sake of having one inventory, they can order everything in one call and it gets delivered to the workplace.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think John's always got a great little story he tells about toilet roll.
The toilet rolls is my favourite one.
It's like this one.
And it's
true.
A brief, quick one. Guy was getting toilet rolls from us. Come up to me and said that he's not going to be purchasing them anymore from us.
Right.
I said, okay, why not? He said, I've managed to save 50p off my toilet rolls. I said, right, okay.
Yeah.
Which he then said it took him 4 hours to do so.
Right.
So obviously doesn't value his time very highly.
No.
As a business person, even if he was on minimum wage,
that's a lot of time spent on
toilet. If I'd have charged him another £20, it would have still made more sense. And people can lose sight of what they're in business for at times and end up doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, and it's a lost opportunity cost. You know, what else could you be doing to drive your business forward over that 20 minutes?
Well, not only that, as far as toilet roll is concerned, you can't compromise on quality.
Yeah. You know, could you have followed up a proposal? Could you have gone out and found a new prospect? You know, could you have reduced a cost somewhere else that was more significant to the business in those 20 minutes? Anyway, just to touch on that, we've got a few questions. I mean, what's been great from these shows is really the feedback once we've announced the guests and getting questions through. And we had a really good question from a lady called Cindy Ingham from TCK HQ.
Hello, Cindy.
And what Cindy wrote in to ask is, what tips do you have, John, for interviewing for new salespeople to cut through the hype and get to the real person and abilities?
Good question.
Very good question.
Tough, because you expect a salesperson to come into you like that. You expect them to be a bit larger than life and to be able to talk the talk and to be able to do stuff like that. But very much for us, and any person we look to get, is to not deal with life's theory. as such. So if you was to be talking to them about teamwork, for them to go, yes, so I think I'm a great team player, and no, what we look to draw on is try and get evidence and facts.
Yes.
So taking it back again, so you say you're good at teamwork, give me an example.
Yeah.
And look to ask a few questions about real life stuff and fact. And once you ask a few questions or the same question a few times, you will soon and quite quickly be able to see if the salesperson's just spinning you a line or
such, if they're genuine,
whether it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the proof of the pudding, of course, is in the eating. One of the things in sales is you're only as good as your last sale. And very, very easy to monitor. So you do have to be careful. And again, back on this whole thing about team working and developing teams, of course, we've touched on BetaPack, but another side, of course, in terms of what John's involved with is JR Zone.
Down in
Newport. And again, for those that may not know it, do you want to just quickly touch on what JR
Children's indoor play centre with four-lane slide and big, massive rope bridges. And
I have to say, I have been down that slide. I've been over the rope bridge.
The second slide's in the quickest, so I've heard. And we've got the cafe with the home-cooked food of an evening. It turns into a laser storm arena, which is for children aged 7. And our oldest was 70 years old, who I think we had the other week.
70?
70 years old.
So on the lasers.
So there's no excuse for anybody to come and have a go. Yeah.
And how long have you had JR Zone now?
JR Zone has been since October 2010, so four and a bit years.
And if I'm right, I think it was bankrupt twice before?
Before you got involved and really turned it around.
Yeah, and what do you think were some of the secrets behind that? What were the things that... Because I know the advice that you were given by a number of people was that it's all about cutting costs and just doing things as cheaply as possible. And you went really against that, didn't you? So what was it that allowed you to move that business forward so
secrets.
Successfully?
Firstly, put in a statement of purpose into place.
Yeah.
That's how we run all of our businesses. And that's about making sure we got the vision right, making sure people have got the right attitudes and characters and values. But very much for that place was making sure, firstly, it's clean. And we spend a huge amount of time and money making sure that place is clean, because when you take your kids somebody, you want it
to be
clean.
As soon as someone complains, word of mouth is key. It's key.
Yeah. And the constant really investment as well, isn't it? I mean, you've recently, I went along to the opening, which was great, put in all the high level stuff now.
Yep.
I mean, a big investment there.
Yeah. And again, we've got an absolutely fantastic team there. And the home cooked food, which is absolutely fantastic. Yes, you can get your cheesy chips, but you can also get things like tempura prawns, which you probably wouldn't expect down there.
No, that's very good.
And getting the staff right and key. Lots say how good our staff is there, and it is true. Recognised by the Chamber by that as well quite recently.
Indeed, I mean, you're multi-award winning over the years, certainly, and no less at these most recent awards, of course. And you touched there, John, on statement of purpose. I know that's something very much at the heart of BetaPack, but also as you developed into JR Zone.
Yeah.
And again, it'd be good for you to just touch on that, because some people may not be familiar with it, but I know it underpins so much of what you do. And one of the things I like so much about that is in terms of developing teams, it really puts people in this no-blame environment.
It's
not about blaming people.
It makes sure that everybody knows the rules, and it's for me as well. And it's to make sure that I manage stuff, that I don't lose sight. And we have these set of rules, and the answer is always in the statement of purpose. No matter what it is, people can go to it. And people as well, you find in work, in jobs at times, that people aren't clear what they need to do. And that's how they can lose their way.
I've got to be singing off the same hymn sheet,
this, everybody's extremely clear. We've got a clear vision set out of what we're trying to achieve every single day. There's the attitude on how every single staff member should act.
Mm-hmm.
The values. It's a tool which we all use.
And it's on your website as well. And if you go to the BetaPack website,
it's absolutely everywhere. Yep. It's in the toilet.
Yeah, I'd certainly encourage anyone listening to the show, or subsequently if you listen to this through podcast or download, go to the BetaPack website, have a look at that statement of purpose.
The prime principal values are on there, which could be adopted, and you should paint them if you're not already done so, John.
Yeah.
But the website is all the W's, BetaPack betapack.co.uk. That's betapack.co.uk for more details on the website.
And I know Johnson and Poppy, we've got another question. I don't know if you want to touch on that one, Darren, from a Dan in Newport.
We can indeed. Hello, Dan in Newport. No company name mentioned, but he does ask the question, when building your team, John, what approach do you take to developing people's skills to take on new and expanded roles?
Good question again. Lots and lots. Again, it all firstly starts from the statement of purpose. But we've got many kind of tailored training sessions. We've written sessions around time management, conflict management, psychology of selling. We've got a huge library of training sessions that we've made ourselves. Skills exchange as well, making sure that everybody understands everybody's role. There's annual reviews, which again isn't just let me come and tell you what my moans are for the year. It's some real clear measure things. What one or two things are we going to help you with to improve yourself and the business over the next year?
And looking at that from the sort of motivational side, and certainly knowing Betapack as I do, there's constant reinforcement, constant encouragement, and you run some quite healthy competitions internally to reward people for exceptional levels of service.
There is in ways. We do things like Sale of the Month, which is all about sharing success. When somebody has done something that month which we class as a sale as such. And for us, a sale isn't about money. It's not me saying to you, do you want this for £20, £50, whatever it is. A sale is when you convince somebody to do something they wasn't necessarily going to do on that day, but it's in the interest of them and you. And this could be somebody selling something internally. It could be a new procedure. It could be an external sale. So we look to share that success and people, and we've learned so much from that. And you get to hear some great things that staff do, which is absolutely fantastic. And we look to share that each month. And it's also a chance as well for us to talk about the business, talk about what's going good, what's not going so well, because we are extremely honest with what happens, because we find
that's the best way to be.
It is. Nobody is ever under any doubts on what's happening. And then we do just turn that into sale of the year as well, to which I put it out to all staff to vote, and so this is for them to vote for the person who they feel have contributed the most and why to the business. And again, we get to learn so much. And
we do look at that in more of a tactical approach, as you said earlier on. If they've suddenly convinced that they actually, I do need that. Yeah, that's a good point. That someone's tried to sell them, but they've done it in more of a consultational way, as opposed to
it is. And there's lots of stuff that we take from the small parts, which we then look to expand out. And it's just great to share that type of stuff and do little rewards of champagne or coming along to the Chamber Awards or just little things like that, holiday time off and things.
It's even things like the Chamber Awards, where I know with Betapack and JRs and the whole team get involved in those. It's not just a case of, you know, John and Pete and one or two people at the top saying, right, this is what we're going to do. It's the whole team being involved in that, so that the award goes towards, you know, testimony to everybody, and everyone's contributed.
Okay, John, well, thank you for that. We'll be coming to you in a moment, which for your chosen song this evening. But first of all, it's over to Dale, who's going to be updating us on the Isle of Wight networking events taking place.
Yeah, I mean, it's expanding and certainly getting a bit more through. A few that are coming up, and as we get through the month now, Isle of Wight Business Women's Networking Lunch, a very good event with Alison Coley. I know last week when we mentioned it with Dee Becker, Dee had been to one of those and said how good it was. Next one's on January the 22nd at the Garlic Farm, and anyone that wants to know more about that can just contact Alison Coley at Real Employment Law. Chamber event coming up, open only to Chamber members, and I think this one's pretty well fully subscribed now, which is HMP Isle of Wight. That again's on the 22nd of January, starts at 8:30, and again contact the Chamber if you remember to go to that one. Cows Business Association, got some great business associations here on the island. Cows is but one of those. Thursday, January 29th at Cows Chiropractic Clinic, good that they take them out to their members. People see other businesses across the island. Again, just contact Cows Business Association. And finally, Chamber of Commerce Networking Breakfast, first one of 2015, which will be on the 6th of February. They're every first Friday of a new month. Wasn't one in January for obvious reasons. And that one's Isle of Wight Youth Trust Ride School Restaurant. So good events coming up there. Great for people to get involved in those, meet other businesses, network with like-minded people.
Excellent. Thank you, Dow, for the networking update. We'll give you some more of those next week. So over to yourself again, John Carter, who's Group General Manager of Beta Pack. Now, you've chosen a song for us. Tell us what the song is and why.
You'll Never Walk Alone is the song I've chosen. Three reasons, in no particular order, because I don't want to get it wrong. Liverpool Football Club is my team. This was also played as I was walking out of the church when I got married.
Fantastic.
But I also thought it fits extremely well with the subject matter today, and talking around teams and things like that. That the journey is what it is all about, and it's tough, it's hard, and you go through all the rain, but if you've got a great team, it does make it a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable as well.
John, thank you. We'll play your song for you, and just to let you know, next week already, we're planning ahead for next week's Business Insight, technology supporting your business, the cloud and effective support, with Jonathan Thornton, who's the Managing Director of PC Consultant.